Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Through Sharing Change, MTE members round up their bills to support local nonprofits. You can find out more about that at sharingchange.org. Today, we are talking with our friends from the United Way of South Central Tennessee. And we have a newbie. I always like it when we have newbies come in. We have Ella Weaver here with us, Vice President of Collective Impact. You're an old hat.
Old pro.
Yep, old pro. And who did you bring with you today?
I brought Rachel Hagler, who is our coordinator for early childhood development. And it's her first time on the radio.
Well, hey. Let the hazing begin. You've been there a year and a half, and you haven't been on the air yet. That's wild.
I've just snuck my way under the radar.
I guess. Well, it's good to have you here today, and you've also brought an observer by.
Yes, we do have Ava Smith with us. She's our intern for the summer.
Everybody loves interns, right?
Yes. I asked her if she wanted to talk, and she politely declined.
Well, this will be a good example of maybe what not to do from the radio host perspective, at least. But we're going to talk about early childhood development things today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of our main focus areas, and we really know how important focusing on those early years is. For us, that's mainly 0 to 5. We do some stuff that kind of goes up to age 8 to 3rd grade. But so much of a child's brain development, all of their development happens in those early years. And so we know that focusing resources and attention and support in those years makes changes that will last them for their whole lives and their families' lives.
We have talked about many of those, you know, like specific things. Imagination Library comes to mind. I can't remember the name of the event that you have where the characters come out and you read
storybook
breakfast. That's it. Makes sense that it would be a breakfast, wouldn't it? So those are some of the things that we've talked about specifically, but this is kind of a bigger picture of that. Mm-hmm. Why is it? I'm very interested in this now since I have a new granddaughter. So, you know, she's definitely in that 0 time frame.
Yeah.
She's not reading yet, but I did get her a book. But, you know.
Excellent. You're doing a great job already.
Yeah. Is that what grandpa should do?
Yeah.
Maybe both of you share why it is critically important, those 0 to 5 years to, I mean, it really sets a child up for success for their entire life, honestly.
Yeah. So 80% of a child's brain like has grown to adult size by the time that they're 3. And then 90% of their development, their brain development happens before they're 5. And the connections that children's brains are making in those 0 to 5 to 7 years are so critical. They're learning about the world around them and how to connect those things to then change that into language, into empathy, into being members of a community, building relationships, all of those things are connected to what they learn in those first early years.
Yeah. I have babysitting duties on Wednesdays, which is really cool. But Rachel, my granddaughter is almost 8 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And it's just, thanks. Pretty proud pop-pop.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to see how they look at things. I mean, they're always observing unless they're sleeping or eating, but you know, always observing. So that's honestly a critical time maybe we don't think about.
Definitely. I think that just that time especially, that postpartum time, is so special for that connection between, you know, the caregivers, like mom and dad or whoever is taking care, grandparents, you know, to really build just that that felt safety and just that, just knowing that is when they learn who their safe people are and where their safe place is. And it's so crucial. And even we've talked about this before, like sometimes reading comes into play with that. You know, when you're sitting and you're taking time away from screens or the busyness of the day-to-day life, and you're sitting there and you're just together and you're connecting and you're reading a book. And that's, I think, another reason why Imagination Library is such a big a big one for us, you know, just knowing that it provides so much more than just a book, that there's also that quality time and connection that comes with it.
And how cool is it that we have that in Tennessee? I bet other, you know, states are jealous of that fact. You know,
So Imagination Library is actually global.
Oh, is it really?
It is. And that's just been in within the last few years. I didn't know it either until I started here, to be honest. So it is in the UK, Ireland, and Australia, I believe, are the other three countries outside of the U.S. And then every state in the U.S. does have a department. But we have a special partnership since Tennessee was the kind of inaugural state. And we have the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation that partners with us to help provide resources that other states don't get that we are very, very thankful for.
Well, look at Tennessee go.
I know. You know?
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So for those new parents out there, let's talk a little more specifically about Imagination Library. I would imagine that they have heard about this somewhere along the way, because we've done a really good job of communicating this to new parents. But for those who might not know, or for grandparents who didn't get that, you know, maybe talk about that and how it happens.
Yeah. So Imagination Library is was founded by Dolly Parton. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Dolly, right? So, but she founded it because she knows the importance of early literacy. So a lot of our enrollees here in Rutherford and Cannon counties come from the hospital. So they give the opportunity at the hospital at birth to sign up. So the program is birth through age 5. So the first book you get is The Little Engine That Could. And then the last book is Kindergarten Here I Come. And then in between, there are books handpicked for each age and stage that are developmentally appropriate. Dolly has, of course, a blue ribbon committee picking all these out, making sure that they are what each child needs at that stage. And so the child has a chance to have 60 books by the end of when it's all said and done. So they have their own home library, which is huge for those families who might not have the resources to be able to buy books regularly. And then it's also just the fun part of it comes straight to the mailbox for free from the Imagination Library Foundation.
And the United Way has a big hand in that, Ella, because without, you know, the funding that United Way funnels into that program, it just wouldn't be possible here.
Yeah, so it's free to families, which we love, free to all families, but the books are not free to purchase or ship. So, again, we love Dolly Parton and the vision she had behind this program. She does not pay for the books, which is what a lot of people think. We love her.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay for the books. So that's United Way's responsibility for Rutherford County and for Cannon County. And then we have Imagination Library in our other new 5 counties. We've talked about that several times with you, but they're not all affiliated with United Way, but we're still very supportive of those programs. But yeah, so that's 16,000 children in Rutherford County alone who are getting a book every month. And each book costs us about $1.30. And then the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation that Rachel referenced pays the other half of that. So we're each paying about $1.30 per child per month. So for us, that's about $250,000 every year that we're investing into Imagination Library.
Wow. Yeah. And if stamps keep going up, you know,
right?
Yeah.
Well, we just had a price increase. Yeah.
It's amazing how that trickles down to everybody.
Absolutely.
Imagination Library, by the time these kiddos are in kindergarten, and what are we seeing? What do statistics tell us about those who have, you know, had this experience and those who haven't?
Yeah, so lots of states, and so Tennessee did a study back in the late teens, and then a couple other states have done some things more recently, looking at the difference in children who were enrolled in Imagination Library and those who were not. And they're showing better assessments on their, when they're entering kindergarten, better third grade reading scores. And then we know that the number of books in the home as the child is growing up directly correlates to their success, their academic success in school, their graduation rate, their rate for going to college, and then for being just a productive member of society and being engaged with their community. So getting books in the homes is that critical first step.
Yeah.
There's a second step. That's reading the books, like I talked about earlier. But that's a critical first step.
Yeah, and even some of these interactive books that you know, have like the pop-ups or my daughter-in-law showed me one yesterday, and it's about a snail, and you stick your finger in and make the snail move, you know, and that kind of thing. That's it grabs the attention and you're reading and it's a book and turning pages, all of those things are children mimic.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And looking at the different, if it's animals on the page, or having them recognize letters as they grow older, or connecting the book to what's around them in person. A lot of the books have predictive text. So it's the same kind of text on each page. So one that comes to mind is like brown bear, what do you see? And so as a child reads that, now parents might say like, we read that book every day, but there's a reason for that. Yeah. They're learning and they're learning the rhythm of the book, the rhyming, which helps with phonetics. And then eventually that translates to reading. So all of those pieces, even if they feel repetitive for parents sometimes, are critical for the child.
So for those who, I mean, you just mentioned a quarter of $1 million that's spent annually by the United Way just to make this happen here in Rutherford County. Are there, I know that there are ways that the community can support Imagination Library. So talk to us about some of those.
Yeah, so we have the most obvious one is being able to donate directly online. So on our website, which is your local UW.org, and we have a little space there. So that's a quick and easy way. We also have, like we've mentioned before, fundraisers throughout the year, the Storybook Breakfast. That one's our biggest fundraiser for Imagination Library, which is also so, so fun. So that is another one. And then one of our favorites that honestly, it's probably because we don't have to put a lot of work into it, is just the customized license plates. So you see the people with the little Imagination Library license plate. We get around $5,000 a year from those license plates. I know. I was surprised the first time that we got the amount that came in. I was like, whoa, I did not know. But, you know, again, it's one of those like how little things can add up to be a big amount of money. So that helps several families have books in their home. So those are kind of the main ways. And then just, you know, obviously anytime that someone's interested, if they have a great idea, we've had people reach out before of like, you know, I'd love to have like sponsor a birthday party or something like that, to where like they'll have maybe families bring in money instead of gifts. And then all that money goes to Imagination Library. I mean, you can always get creative with, I think kids are so are like so great at just getting creative with how they can raise money towards something that they feel strongly about.
And we love when families, so when a child turns five, that's when they get their last book. So sometimes if your child has already turned five and has benefited from the program, consider kind of passing it forward, paying it forward. And providing some books for the children who are coming after them. But we also have a lot of great corporate partners. So people who are businesses who are providing grants or corporate gifts to support the program because they believe in literacy as well. So if that is something that resonates with your business and your vision for the community, that's a great way to do that.
And what is Power of the Purse?
Yeah, so it's a fundraiser. We did our first annual event last year, and so we're planning that again for this fall. Okay. And that fundraising goes toward our early childhood programs, including Imagination Library. So it's a great fun event for anyone who likes purses. And we do some different raffles and fun ways to get some really great designer purses. So that's coming in November.
So it's super fun. We have a lot of like high-end, more like luxury purses. And so everybody kind of can get their little raffle tickets and get a chance to win those. And then we have a little cash and carry, so you can just pay for it and take it home. So it's really fun.
Sounds like my type of event.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Sure. Well, let us know about those events so we can help promote those in the very cool Imagination Library, such an important part of early childhood development. We're talking with the coordinator of early childhood development, Rachel Hagler, and also Ella Weaver, the VP of Collective Impact. Any other items you want to talk about here this morning?
We do have another program, Born Learning, that is directed toward that same age group. Rachel, you want to share a little bit about what that is?
So we have done multiple Born Learnings, and it is one of my favorite ways, again, just to be able to see that tangible, our resources turn into tangible things. So Born Learning is a 6-series workshop. We've done it different ways. You know, sometimes it's 6 weeks, sometimes we condense it, but it's a 6-series workshop that focuses on caregivers teaching their children and just how to be their child's first educator. So again, you know, you said you're a grandparent, you've got an 8-week-old granddaughter. Like, how can you, at 8 weeks, you know, she's kind of still doing the sleep and poop and all that. But as she gets older,
and eating a lot.
And eating a whole lot. They are very hungry. But, you know, just knowing kind of how, as she gets older, how can I make sure that we are taking these opportunities to learn together, you know, to really focus on learning how, like, just how their brains develop and how that connection can help in the long run. So, we have partnered with Rutherford County Schools and Murfreesboro City Schools, and we do those kind of all around town. So we have one coming up in the fall in October, and we are still working on all the details for that one, but we are, that will be with Murfreesboro City Schools. So it's really cool. We talk a lot about just kind of, to me, it's almost a parenting 101. It's a solid foundation laying. It's a safe place to ask a lot of questions about, like, hey, maybe my kid, we're, you know, doing, having these struggles. Is this normal? Is this something I can get attention to? And thankfully, between us and the schools, we have a lot of resources that we can point parents towards as well. But it's just real fun. We have, we all have a meal together, and then the kids go to childcare while the parents learn. And then after the session is over, the parents and the kids come together, and it's probably my favorite time because you can see the parents kind of practice what they just learned. So maybe it was, you know, healthy eating, and we're practicing making a fun snack together that's a healthy snack, and just seeing the excitement of the kids, you know, and everybody working together. It's really sweet.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm sure the kids have a big time together.
Oh, 100%,
too.
Yeah.
So it's that's always fun. So when do you do those?
So those kind of vary throughout the year, but usually we have at least one in the fall and one in the spring. Sometimes okay. we do it in the summer. It all just depends on schedules, but typically, and especially for this year, we will have one in the fall and one in the spring.
Yeah, summer's so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It goes so fast.
Yes.
But we usually do that from 5:30 to 7 at night. Oh, yes. We've tried some different times as well. So we'll continue to try some different times to catch different types of families. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's very neat. And maybe sometime in the future, there's a, you know, an online option, or, you know, mm-hmm. an option mm-hmm. that, you know, this kind of curriculum is put yeah. together that they can do it on their own yep. pace and time.
So, yeah, we've considered a virtual option too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. So I guess they could just find out more
yeah,
by
on the website.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on our website, and then also like on our, I mean, we usually share about it when it's coming up on our social media channels. Mm-hmm. But yes, website is generally our best on that one. Mm-hmm.
Well, before our time gets away, we better talk about, since school time, the bells are going to be ringing soon, Ella.
Right. It's very depressing.
Yes.
We are both parents, and I think we are both feeling that. Like, oh my gosh.
Lots of parents
right
are happy
around
when school goes back. But August is a crazy time. But part of that is our Stuff the Bus event. And so that's coming up on August 4th and 5th. And so lots of ways to gather school supplies, get those into our supply drive, and then sorted to distribute back out to the schools to give to kids that need those things and help them start on an even playing field with all of their peers.
So are you collecting things now?
Yep. Lots of businesses around town are collecting school supplies. You can go on our website to see what those businesses are, where you could drop off or kind of do your own internal collection and bring that. And then you would come drop it off on August 4th, and then we'll sort it into backpacks and get those distributed back out to the schools on August 5th.
Yeah. And are you doing the Amazon wish list thing too?
Yes.
With that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome.
Available there, and there's opportunities to volunteer with the event, and that's all on our website as well. So
your local uw.org/stuffthebus, mm-hmm. and that's your resource to get all kinds of great information about early childhood development. And well, Rachel, how was it? Was it okay?
I mean, it was great.
Okay.
It exceeded my expectations.
So you, oh wow.
I know.
Leave a comment card. No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe you'll come back and share some great things with us. It's really cool, especially, you know, for so long when you have little kids and then they grow up, it's like, you know, you don't think about that stuff. And then all of a sudden grandkids come along and you're thinking about it again, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, really good opportunities out there for folks, and Imagination Library, support it, and good stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks
for having us.
And we'll have you back anytime.
All right.
Our friends from the United Way joining us here today, and Rachel Hagler, the coordinator of early childhood development, along with the vice president of Collective Impact, Ella Weaver. That's going to do it for our show today. We will, of course, be back next time. Don't forget, the podcast will be up shortly if you missed any part of the show.